platform.
BATF IRS CIA and FBI FDA and FCC ADL and KGB. Now I know my ABCs, all of which spell tyranny.
Oh, Michael, are you hearing that?
Oh, yeah, I did.
It's kind of like fading in and out. Okay. All mics are on, according to this. All right.
Eli, you're live. You're live. Just go.
Okay.
You're live.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here. This is Eurofolk Radio Bloodlines. Hope you're hearing us okay. Again, this, we're experimenting with Speak Free Radio and StreamYard. So, Michael, are you there?
I am here. I hope you hear me loud and clear, everybody.
Okay. All right, there's a bit garbled, but I can hear you, and so I want to tell people we're going to be continuing our series on the two seeds of Genesis 3:15 by Pastor Dan Gehman, and I want to share that article real quickly with the people in the chat room, and I have to copy it and put it in there. The Eurofolk Radio chat room, and then I'll see if I can get it in the Speak Free Radio chat room as well. All right, so, but while that's loading up, I have a feeling my internet here is overloaded. All right, so anyway, we did several shows this weekend on different subjects, and one of them being the name of Yahweh being destroyed and being muted by organized Jewry. And organized Jewry has been doing a great job of muting the name of Yahweh in the Old Testament, replacing it with the word L-O-R-D. And, okay, I'm having difficulty loading up the stream. So, Michael, are you still hearing me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you very well.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I'm waiting for the article to come up from the Internet Archive site. So in the meantime, maybe you can load it up on your computer.
I have the article. What page do you want me to go to?
Yeah, that's a good question. What page? I don't have it on. Oh, you know what? I may have it on my hard drive here. But that, I would take time to load that up as well. So I tell you what, why don't you scroll down? Because I know we're past the halfway point of the article. And so while I'm waiting for it to load up, maybe you can just scroll down there and we can start discussing the article. Okay.
Yeah. And as you say, I think this article is is kind of briefly, but it's enough to cover the very important basis of the two-seed line doctrine, I would say. What it says, that is also very clear that you have two seed lines within the Bible, and you have one that is of Yahweh God, and that is the white Caucasian people, also very provable if you are a bit, when you study history. The same study you are doing, you will also probably encourage the eternal enemy of the white race, the white Caucasian race, and that is, of course, the Jewish people that are always lurking around and destroying our societies. And they are the seed of the serpent. They are that bastard seed line, that tree of knowledge that we shouldn't partake with. We shouldn't know it. We shouldn't have, as Eve did have, she did have sexual relationships with the serpent, and that produced Cain. And that is also why you don't find Cain in the seed line of Adam in Genesis chapter 5. that it's not that hard to figure out if you read it. So we can go maybe to the one, if you say halfway in the article, we have the chapter 6. It said the seed of the serpent. Maybe that's where we continue then, until you are,
yes.
When you find your notes. So if you want, I can start here in chapter 6 with the seed of the serpent.
Yeah, go ahead and pick it up from where you're at, because I'm having issues with my broadcaster here. For sure, I'm having issues that need to be overcome. So please continue. Okay.
I'm still
there, Michael.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. Yeah, please continue, because I have to make contact with the people. Maybe I see that Rob is in the audience and he can hear us. Rob, if you could tell the people in Eurofolk Radio chat to move over to Speak Free Radio, because it's not broadcasting on Eurofolk Radio. And if I turn on but, it'll just cause all kinds of echoing problems. So we'll just have to be right here on Speak Free Radio exclusively for Bloodlines until we get these issues straightened out. Okay. All right. Did you hear me, Michael?
I did.
Yeah.
I did hear. So do you want me to continue then? I propose chapter 6.
Yeah.
The seed of the serpent.
Okay. Continue with that. Okay, Rob says we're live on both. All right, very good. Thank you. All right, so yeah, please continue. And then if you could send me the link to the – well, actually, I've got it up. I need to open it up. All right, so please continue while I'm having issues loading up the article. All right.
Okay, I'm trying to do two things now. So now I'm sending you the article, so you have it. And then I will start reading.
Okay. It's finally loading up for me. It's finally loading up for me, but it's not quite there yet. Okay, yeah, so go ahead.
So, chapter 6, the seed of the serpent. Again, we ask that you read Genesis 3:15. Yahweh, our God, is speaking to the serpent, who is standing before God as a very intelligent being. He is told by Almighty God that there will be enmity, bracket, hatred, warfare, and a bracket, between thy seed, bracket, the serpent, and the bracket, and the seed of the woman. The same word seed that we have previously traced back to both the original Hebrew and Greek is again the crucial question at hand. If the woman was to have seed, then the serpent must of necessity also have seed. We must be consistent. The only thing consistent about those who wish to deny or do away with the seed of the serpent is their inconsistency. They acknowledge on the one hand that the woman has a seed, but they deny that the serpent has a seed. This type of spiritualization away the literal truth of the scripture is an old practice among not only modern theologians, but the practice of or habit of spiritualizing literal Bible truth is a well-known fact among all schools of theology.
Oh, okay.
Dating back for hundreds of years into the history of our white race.
Okay, Michael, are you there?
I'm still here, yep. It seems like that Eli has dropped out of StreamYard. He will probably be back soon again. Okay, I guess Eli dropped out and he will be back shortly. But do you hear me in the chat room now when I'm just solo speaking? I have to get into the chat room to have a look. Okay, good. You can still hear me. So while Eli is logging back in, I will continue reading in this article until he will be back. So let's continue. How else do you think we lost the identity of our white Christian seed on this earth? We lost the truth of the Holy Bible because apostate clergymen, churchmen, began to spiritualize the literal truth of the Bible out of existence, which Christian people have generally been oblivious to the Jews and their lies because the Jews were never identified, either in scripture or in history, by the apostate clergy. And this is something I understand that most of you have experienced, this spiritualization of scriptures. So they spiritualize them away. And it's very true here in Sweden. And also when you're speaking among people that say they are very awake and understanding stuff. But when you come into topical of the Bible, of this of those seed lines, I have not come upon so many biblical scholars here in Sweden that does recognize the two seed line. They always go to the spiritualization. They always goes to this Judeo-Christian, how they treat the scriptures. Because, I don't know, they are basically lost. When you try to tell them about this truth, they don't take it seriously. They don't believe it, or they are too cowardly to recognize that there is two seeds in the book of Genesis. And I will continue to write. So I'm just writing with Eli also. So, okay, now I will continue. Now, very briefly, let us chronicle the seed line of Satan in this earth, first by tracing this seed through the Holy Scriptures. Okay, Eli is saying we are going to Butt instead. So I will leave this one, and then we will also reconnect with Butt. But we will be with you in a short time. Bye. And hang on, we are soon back. Okay. We will try StreamYard one more time.
Yes.
Because we have been experiencing some echoing sound and some sound issues.
Very
and Eli, do you hear me right now?
Yeah, I hear you now. Okay. So everybody should be hearing us now. It seems to me that the squelch, I had some serious squelch. It was so loud, I could not hear anything you were saying. Absolutely nothing you were saying. So that seems to have disappeared. And I believe the squelch was being caused by the archive, the Internet Archive, which was loading up as we were speaking. And so tell me where you're at. I think we're good to go now. I think we are good to go now.
Yeah. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what page are you on, Michael?
And I'll just join you there. I'm on the page. Let's see. 33.
That's a good number. Maybe the Freemasons are squelching our sound. Okay, so this is the best sound I've had since we tried to start the show the first time. So please continue, and I'll catch up with you.
Yeah, previously I made some comments on the spiritualization of scriptures, and that is something that I've been experiencing very a lot here in Sweden, and also among people that say that they are awake. They spiritualize the scriptures and read them a bit badly. And I can understand that you also experience this spiritualization very well in America as well.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so chapter 6, page 33, and I think you started here. I have to get rid of this window that popped up. Okay. And so please continue, and I'll catch up with you.
Okay, so now I hope you all hear me well now. I will now continue. So now very briefly, let us chronicle the seed line of Satan in this earth. First, by tracing this seed through the Holy Scriptures. First, you will note that in the marginal reference column of most Bible, that Genesis 3:15, when speaking of the seed of the serpent, will refer you directly to such scripture as Matthew 3:7, 13:38, 23:33, John 8:44, Acts 13:10, 1 John 3:8 until 12, and others. You are now looking into a very basic, elementary, fundamental truth of scriptures in identifying the serpent seed. And that elementary, fundamental truth is very few, far from between that has done that research. The truth of God's word is not complex. In fact, it is so simple that most people cannot comprehend it. In every one of the foregoing scriptures, the serpent seed is identified as the Jew, sometimes called the Pharisee. Serpents, vipers, race of serpents, children of hell, and other such names by Jesus Christ and the writers of the New Testament. Jesus Christ and every New Testament writer identify the Jew as the seed of Satan or the seed of the serpent. Mm-hmm. Why cannot this truth be discerned by God's people? Because not everyone was born with spiritual discernment, having eyes that see and ears that hear. If you are one of God's son, one of his seed through the woman, quickened by the Holy Spirit, you will see and hear and understand the truth that the serpent does have a literal seed line on this earth today. And from the time of Genesis 3:15, Jesus Christ taught this truth, and so did every writer of the New Testament, including St. Paul. If you cannot see, hear, understand, or contain this basic kingdom identity truth, then do not become disturbed, for until this day, some of the seed of the woman are in blindness as to the truth of God's word. In fact, most of the white Christians, Israel's seed of the woman, are in spiritual blindness. Only the ecclesia, the very elect, can perceive and understand the truth of the two seed of Genesis 3:15. Comments from you, Eli.
Well, yeah, this is a basic truth that two seed liners have been teaching forever. I'm not sure exactly when it was conceived by Dr. Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé, but they perceived that this is the most important verse of scripture because it sets the tone for the rest of the Bible. The way in which the seed lines are presented from the our side, from the Adamic side, is very clear. However, the way the seed line is presented from the Edomite side and the Cain Satanic side is scattered throughout the scripture. So you have to do research. Whether you believe that Eve was sexually seduced or not doesn't matter. The two seed lines are presented in Genesis 3:15, and the war between the two seed lines clearly started then, and it's still happening today. And as he says in the article here, that war is us versus the Jew. It's us versus the Jew, no doubt about it. Okay, so please continue.
Yeah, and that, yeah, and everybody does really not have that because, and or is it so hard for gullible white people to see that there are evil in the world?
Yes.
The first manifested seed of the serpent upon this earth was Cain. Cain is missing from Adam's genealogy, not because he sinned, but because he was not of Adam's seed. Yeah, as we started up with, from Genesis 5, Cain is missing.
Right, right. Yeah, and that reminds me of the material I covered last time where Charles Lee Mange, otherwise known as Dan Gaiman, he was talking about how the firstborn has always been replaced by the secondborn throughout the biblical narrative. You know, for example, Esau, firstborn, was replaced by Jacob, and firstborn in the bloodlines always it turns. We have Zerah and Phares, right? Zerah stuck his hand out first, and he claimed to be the firstborn, but then Phares came out. So there's been this contention between the firstborn and the secondborn down through the ages, but we're told who it is we're supposed to follow, and all you have to do is concern yourself with the bloodline in Luke chapter 3, where the bloodline of Yahshua is given all the way back to Adam. And so those are the only things we have to be concerned about. The other issues, Jacob versus Esau, well, we know that Esau, he despised his birthright. He despised his birthright, and that sealed the deal between him and Yahweh. And the fact that Isaac refused to bless, I'm getting background noise still, that Isaac refused to bless Esau is not a matter of concern for us. Esau defied, he despised his birthright. That's all we need to know, and therefore he is not even considered in the bloodline. And he's now part of the Cain satanic seed line for having despised his birthright and marrying into that seed line later on. Okay, please, back to you.
Thank you. So, Cain was fathered by Satan. Jesus Christ indicated that the Jewish Pharisees, whom he called serpents, a race of vipers, bracket, Matthew 23, verse 33, and the bracket, with all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom they slew between the temple and the altar, Matthew 23:35. And here also, like this still goes on today. We have a lot of doctors that have spoke out against, for example, this COVID nonsense that seems to have getting another speed now. So, and they're getting worried. And I guess they are probably murdered by the Mossad or by Jewish hands that have ordered the murdering of them.
Yes. Well, I have likened it. The Cain satanic seed line is, number one, it's a parasitic breed, because they're not a race. The Jews are not a pure race, but they carry the blood of Lucifer and or Nakash in their veins. And so they have to mix with other races because their blood is so impure. Okay. So the Jews are definitely that impure bloodline, not a race, but they're a bloodline. And these are the ones who must parasitize off of other races in order for their very existence. But they also, at the same time, want to destroy our race, the Adamic race, so that you know they can take control of, well, first of all, our destiny, and they hope to destroy us. However, since they're a parasitic race, they have to be careful not to totally destroy us because a parasite only lives off the host. And if they destroy the host, then they destroy themselves. But you never know. You know, the Jewish parasite is in such a frenzy to destroy us, they may lose sight of the fact that we are their food. We are their source of food. So they can't really destroy us. They still have to keep breeding white people if they totally control us. They have to keep on breeding white people in spite of the fact that they hate us so much they want to destroy us. But this is the dilemma, what I call the parasite's dilemma, that they can't totally destroy us even though they want to. Back to you.
Yeah, because they know that who is the one that keeping society going, who is giving them all their luxury. It's not the brown people, it's not the black people, it's not the Asiatic. They like to be in our culture, our societies. And if that collapses, you're not getting so much luxury anymore.
Right? Well, or anything for that matter, because they use our inventions, they use our language, they use our religion and pervert our religion, right? They've perverted the religion of the Old Testament. Okay, and claim to be us, right? So everything they touch, they pervert. And as long as we, the bloodline of Adam and Eve through Seth, as long as we know who the enemy is and you know, fight against them, we have to fight, as James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, I found this true in my life. When Jews try to attack me, I just curse them. I just curse them and they flee. So resist the devil and he will flee from you. But our people are playing footsie, an economic ball with the perverted Jew. Yeah. And so we have this situation where our people are giving their substance to the perfidious Jew and they can't help themselves. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah, and I was thinking about something more. As you say, also they. I'm a bit lost what I thought about.
Okay, but. Well, here, before you, maybe you'll think of it. I just tried to enter the Eurofolk Radio chat room, and when I did, I started getting interference again. So either my laptop or my hotspot is not capable of handling all the data. Okay. So, but right now I'm hearing you clearly. I'm hoping everybody else is hearing me clearly. And I think we can continue under these circumstances. All right, back to you.
Yeah, and it works pretty good. It's good. It works. I hear you loud and clearly. I shut off my camera just because I save on my bandwidth a bit.
Yes, so, I'll do the same. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so should we continue with the article here?
Yes.
Okay. So, why did Jesus Christ trace the lineage of the Jewish Pharisees back to Cain? Well, yeah, he did exactly what we did. He does. We are following Jesus Christ's footsteps by tracing the Jews. Your Savior charged the Jews with all the righteous blood shed upon this earth for some 4,000 years of history, from Cain, about B.C. 4003, onto the shedding of blood of Zechariah in about A.D. 33. Don't let anyone, I mean anyone, allow you to forget that Jesus Christ traced Jewish Pharisees back into history for some 4,000 years, and he traced them back to a seed called Cain.
Well, this is interesting because it's very obvious to us to see the lines that the Jews carry the blood of either Lucifer or Nakash, whatever critter you want to name, as their father. And he's quite right that Cain does not have Adam listed as his father. And this is, you know, a point that non-seedliners simply overlook. Okay. If Adam were Cain's father, the Bible would say so, right? But it doesn't say so. Okay. And, I think we discussed this, 3 or 4 weeks ago, that in Genesis chapter 3, Eve's womb was already cursed with pain and childbirth. They had to wear loincloths to hide their shame, et cetera, et cetera. That happened in Genesis chapter 3 already. So by the time you get to Genesis 4:1, where it states that Adam knew his wife Eve and bare Cain, well, this is a dual pregnancy. She already had to bear the punishment of, you know, having a polluted womb. That already happened in Genesis chapter 3. So it's Genesis 4:1 is simply telling us, well, there's a continuation of birth. So she was pregnant with two boys, okay, Cain and Abel. And then we know what happened from there on. So the curse has already occurred in Genesis chapter 3. Most people ignore that fact. Back to you.
Then we come back to the question I had for, I think, 2 weeks ago, where I asked, okay, that could it be that Abel was polluted? Was that why he had to be?
That's quite possible. Yeah, and that would be telegony, okay? Telegony, because telegony carries on the seed of the wrong sire for several generations, okay? So that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with telegony, and we're dealing with a polluted womb, okay? So, yeah, please continue.
Yeah, because if that seed I'm going to build upon Abel, then we will be polluted. But now I don't know how long they waited before they got Seth. I don't know how long time that was. Was it maybe seven years? Then it's all replaced. Right. All the DNA, the cells are replaced in the body.
That's right. That's right. Every 7 years, our body replaces every single cell. Okay. So that's a good question, Michael. I had never really considered that, but it's quite possible that Abel, because he was the product of a polluted womb, that he might not have been able to, you know, bear pure seed himself. Okay. So, but, Cain probably didn't realize that, right? And slew Abel anyway, right? So this is a very interesting scenario here with multiple possibilities, but he did slay Abel, and therefore we were left with the Cain satanic seed line, and then Seth had to be born. Now the question is, and Dr. Wesley Swift said that Eve had to have seven gestations before she could bear unpolluted seed, okay? Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but certainly you just pointed out that our bodies, after 7 years, have completely rebuilt, you know, cells, okay? Maybe that's what Dr. Wesley Swift was trying to get at, the number seven. Okay, back to you.
Thank you. So in John 8, verses 13 to 59, we have another occasion when Jesus Christ is witnessing the enmity of the Jewish Pharisees. In John 8, verse 38, Jesus Christ, speaking to the Jews, declares, quote, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. End of quote. And here's pretty clear. We have two different father. One Amen. Father with capital F, and one father with small capital F. So they are two different father.
Small F, right. Okay. Right. Yeah. And, genetics, both in Luke and Matthew, the Greek word of means son of. Okay. It's just not expressed that they don't have to put the word son in there. So we're talking about direct line of descent. Absolutely. Direct line of descent. And we're given that, although we're not given the bloodline of Cain in the New Testament, the word of here means also a direct line of descent. You do that which ye have seen with your father. Again, lowercase. There's a reason why it's lowercase. All right, back to you.
Yes. So who are these two fathers? If you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Jesus Christ is speaking of the distinct Father. The Jews are not of his seed, not of his planting. Jesus Christ finally tells the Jewish Pharisees that, quote, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. End of quote. And
yes,
that is John 8, verses 44.
Yeah. Now, the non-seedliners will argue that this is just metaphoric language. However, I would say, look into your experience. Have you ever dealt with a Jew and that Jew has not at some point stabbed you in the back? Right? Okay. They are not capable of doing good. That's what John 8:44 says. They are not capable of doing good. And you just look at the history of the Jewish people throughout history, they have done nothing but try to destroy white Christian society as a whole. That's all they have ever tried to do. So that should be evidence enough that we should not be giving our substance to the Jewish power structure. We should not be doing that, but we are. That's the problem. All right, back to you.
Yeah. And then one of the in the chapter most points out that isn't Abel called righteous Abel?
Right, so, he is.
Yeah, he is. Yes.
Yeah. Sure. So the question is, there's another interesting point that has to be raised in Genesis 2:7, when Yahweh breathed the breath of life into Adam. That was an upgrade from physical being to he breathed the Holy Spirit into Adam, and then he had to make a woman comparable, also capable of housing the Holy Spirit in her body. Okay. So this would mean they had to be sinless when the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in a body that's full of sin, right? And that's why we have to be careful not to sin. Otherwise we will lose the Holy Spirit. Now we were granted a bit of that at Pentecost in 33 AD when the Holy Spirit, entered into us in flames of fire, right? But the Jews never had that. The Jews do not have that. They're incapable of having that. All right, back to you.
Yes. So, thank you. Again, Jesus Christ traced the Jews back to Cain, who was a murderer from the beginning. Yeah, that's what you say. He was a murderer from the beginning. And who Amen. Was the first murderer? Cain. It can't be that hard, people, to see this.
Right. Yeah, and also in Matthew chapter 23, Yahshua traces the murders down to Zechariah all the way back to Cain as well. So there's two witnesses in the scriptures telling us that Cain is the first murderer and that the Pharisees are directly descended from Cain. Back to you.
Yeah. So let us also be mindful that the same St. John who wrote about the Jews in the Gospel of John also authored other New Testament books. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 12, we are told that, quote, Cain, who was of that wicked one, end of quote. Smith and Godspeed, translation of the Christian Greek scriptures, translates this passage, quote, not like Cain, who originated with the wicked one, end of quote. Oh, originated.
Right. Yeah. Right. And there's different translations. And here I think the King James fails on many accounts. They descended from. It should be descended from. Okay. It could be translated that way too. But King James leaves those words out. So it just has of. But as I said earlier, that of, when you're expressing, father and son relationships as the genealogies do, then it means son of. It just leaves the word son out because it's understood that it means son of. Okay, back to you.
Yeah, I was also looking what is said in the scriptures. I can read what is said. So it's, I guess, 3:11 to 3:12, I think it is. So because of this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were wicked, but those of his brother were righteous.
Okay, so it's possible that Abel was not polluted by the blood of Cain being in Eve's womb. It's possible, okay?
Yes.
Maybe telegony takes one generation to take effect. Whether it did or not, we'll never know because Abel was slain by Cain, right? But we have the ability of being righteous. Cain and his descendants do not have the ability to be righteous. Back to you.
Yes. So if you will receive it, the same St. John who recorded Jesus Christ as saying that the Jew's father was a murderer from the beginning, bracket, John 8:44, and the bracket, also tells you in 1 John 3:11-12, until forever. But you will never change the weight of these words. The Jews are being identified by the scripture, and that is why the identity truth, the gospel of the kingdom, is different from all other denominational preaching in the Western world today.
Yes, we're not fooled by the Jews. The rest of the world is. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I'm going to let you do the majority of the reading because I'm having issues with background noise, so I don't want that to affect the stream. Okay, back to you.
Now to return to Cain of the Old Testament. We have seen plenty of evidence of his descendants in the New Testament, and you are without spiritual discernment. If you have not only been convinced that the serpent had seed. In Genesis chapter 4, we have almost the entire chapter being devoted to Cain, his birth, his offering, his transgression, his sin, and finally, his punishment. The punishment inflicted upon Cain is what we are very much concerned with at this time. In Genesis 4, verses 11 to 12, we find that Cain is being cursed from the earth. The ground will not henceforth yield unto him, and he is to be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, last but by no means least. Cain was given a mark, a physical condition that would forever mark him and his seed after him. It should be...
Unfortunately, we don't know exactly what that mark is. Bertrand Comparé says it's the hooked nose, but they don't all have hooked noses. Back to you.
Yeah, some kind of mark maybe that Yahweh made. Because if Cain would have been slain, then all this wouldn't happen.
Right.
This big experiment, this big test that we are putting forward here in the world would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'd find out some other way that Gabriel did again, but still. So this is a big test for all of us, I believe. This is a test. You either pass or fail. So it should be carefully remembered that all of the judgment inflicted upon Cain became a genetic inheritance of the seed of line of Cain. All of Cain's offspring were to carry these traits in their genes. They would never earn their living from the soil. They would always dwell in cities. They would always be fugitives and vagabonds, and they would all possess certain physical and mental characteristics that would forever brand them as a seed line of Satan. You will note that Acts 19 verses 13 calls the Jews vagabond. And this truth is again declared by David in Psalms 109 verses 10. It will also be noted that Isaiah 3 verses 9 is speaking of the Jews declares, quote, the shew of their countenance doth witness against them, and thy declares their sin as Sodom, they hide it not.
End right, quote. And they still don't hide it even today. They sin openly, you know, homosexuality, abortion, you know, degeneracy everywhere. It's all financed by Jews and committed by Jews openly, just as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet the preachers of Judeo-Christianity ignore it all. You know, they simply ignore it, and you know, to their utter shame. But, of course, many of them are 501c3 corporations, and they cannot challenge their, how should I put it, their seed money, the money they get from their donations, okay, would be cut off tremendously if they stop being 501c3 corporations, okay? Yeah, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. Thank you.
So, the international Jew of today, like his ancestor old, is the possession of a certain number of physical and mental qualities that makes them different from all other races of people upon this earth. They think differently because they are different. They look differently because they had a visage fixed by divine decree. They are the man of sin, the son of perdition, the children of the wicked one in this earth. That I can also make a comment, you know, the son of perdition. Isn't that the whole Jewish people?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, because collectively they are opposed to us. Every single Jew, even the one who owns a haberdashery or a hat shop on the corner, they're just waiting for the opportunity. Well, they'll be tapped by their father Satan to try to destroy us when the time comes. They have no allegiance to our race, to our nations, to our religion at all. They simply do not. And there's a few who claim to be Christians, but they fail. They always fail. Back to you.
Yeah, for example, you have this brother Nathaniel, this Jew, this Orthodox Christian that lash out against Jews, but he's still a Jew.
Yes, right. That's right. Yeah, he's the one who wears that Eastern Orthodox outfit, right? But there's no way he's a Christian. You know, he may be a renegade Jew, where you know he has enemies within his own race, and that's why he's exposing them. That's probably what's going on with him. All right, back to you.
Yeah, but when the day comes, he will not stand on our side.
No, he will not.
They were allowed to be in this earth to fulfill the decree of Genesis 3:15. Exactly, this enmity. So the pathetic white race could understand that there is an enmity, but they will never understand. Sorry, they are so pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, and because they're pathetic, they're sympathetic to the Jew, right? Yeah, this prophecy is very clearly stated in Scripture. There will be enmity or hatred between these two bloodlines. And the whole history of the Bible is a continuation of that enmity. And if you don't have that enmity in mind, you can't understand why there is such great evil in the world and why it is so difficult for us to fight against it or do anything about it. Because that bloodline rules. Just as Isaac prophesied to Esau, the day will come when you will have dominion over your brother Jacob. And that is the era we're living in right now. Yeah, please continue.
Oh, yeah. It is the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
They were allowed to be in this earth to fulfill the decree of Genesis 3:15. Oh, I learned that. After all, how could there be enmity between the woman and the serpent unless the serpent fathered a seed line into this earth to wage war and enmity against the seed of the woman? The serpent had to have seed of, or Genesis 3:15 will not fit into the canon of divine truth.
Absolutely. Let me repeat that. The serpent had to have seed, okay, through Eve, or Genesis 3:15 will not fit into the canon of divine truth. And those are separate people from that moment forward in Genesis chapter 4. They're a separate group of people. And Cain is not mentioned as being fathered by Adam. That's very clear. All right, please continue.
Oh, yeah, now I moved in my page. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Cain was a man marked by Almighty God.
Yeah.
He was
a man marked by Almighty God. He was the seed of the wicked one. His father was Satan. Jesus Christ and St. John both made this statement more than 1,900 years before this booklet was written. Cain was a merchant and a trafficker.
Amen. Now, that's a magic number, 1900 years, because until the year 1900, the 20th century, when the 20th century began, all Christians understood that the Jews were evil. All Christians understood that, and there was no love lost between Christians and Jews. So what happened to change that? Well, Zionism happened. Jewish money, programming, radio, they took over the publication of newspapers, magazines, encyclopedias to brainwash, and then they started promoting this false idea that the Jews are God's chosen people. So we've had over 120 years of this brainwashing of the white race and of Judeo-Christianity. That's what changed. Okay. Up until that point in time, Christians knew that the Jews were evil and avoided them as much as possible. Back to you.
Yeah. We also have the instances of Napoleon that let them out.
That's right. He let them out of the ghettos. That's right.
He did for sure, and that creates a lot of havoc for us today. My God. So, the word Canaanite means peddler, merchant, and trafficker. See Hebrew Chaldea Dictionary of Strong Concordance, 3669. Cain was marked with a swarthy skin. And what is swarthy?
Swarthy means dark, but I'm not sure. That's possible. Right. Okay.
He was marked with a nose that allows always be his trademark. Some of his seed, Jews, would look like white people only because the seed of Cain was married into our race. This has often resulted in some confusion. The children of Cain would always be involved in the money racket and the baser things of life. They would always live in the cities and feed on the sweat of other people's labor.
Yeah, sweat. On the sweat. The prophecy was that the Adam's offspring would live by the sweat of their brow, okay? Which is what we do. It's only white people sweat, right? Work hard enough to sweat. Back to you.
There would be the vampire race, the leech of this world. The Jew would forever be at enmity with the seed of the woman. Cain would exist on this earth as the accursed seed, as the blessed race, whose ultimate goal would be the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the destroying of Christianity.
Yes. Vampire, yeah, that's becoming more obvious as, you know, the 20th century and now the 21st century have unfolded, because we see they deal in our blood. They deal in our blood and pollution of our blood. So whether they sink their teeth into our bodies to drink our blood is irrelevant. They're dealing in our blood. That's what they're doing. Back to you.
Yeah, yes.
Adrenochrome, right? They drain they may have been doing this in the Middle Ages, because, you know, the blood libel, as the Jews like to call it. The fact is that there's numerous records of Jews bleeding Christian children dry of their blood, hanging them upside down and draining the blood through their necks, and then drinking it or using it to make matzo ball soup, right, etc. So they, in one way or another, they're vampires. There you go.
Yeah, and I think that's Arnold Lees that showed that in his book, Jewish Ritual Murder, where he wrote about it during the 50s the late 40s, I think.
That's right. Yeah, Arnold Lees, great commentator on the Jewish people.
Yeah, and he experienced it firsthand also.
Oh, yeah, he was put in prison without charge. They've done that to many white patriots in Britain. Many patriots, including an American also during World War II, was imprisoned without charge, and he was murdered in his cell. And they did the same thing to who was the Nazi who tried to make peace, who came to Britain and landed.
Rudolf Hess.
Rudolf Hess. Yeah, Rudolf Hess, yes. And he was kept in prison by the British and until he finally died in prison. Okay. So they could not let him out to tell the story that Adolf Hitler said peace offerings to Britain. They could not let that story leak out. All right, back to you.
Yeah, I guess that's also the reason why all of the high-ranking National Socialists was murdered, because they had right. death threats on all of them, because they knew the truth and they were the leaders, and so that's why they yes. killed them with this kangaroo court, the Nuremberg yes. trial.
Amen.
And I mean, Himmler was not in that. They say he took his life, but I think he was murdered by the British American military.
Yes, amen. Yeah, that's a really good point. I never thought that was the reason why they killed all those Nazi officers. We knew that they tried to prevent them from talking, right? And it was all a kangaroo court. But yeah, those men and maybe a few women also who were hung and otherwise killed by the international Jew, they could not afford to allow these people to talk. Right. And they do that to us, too. That's why they kill people in our movement, such as Randy Weaver and others who have spoken out against the perfidious Jew publicly. They cannot allow that to happen because otherwise their game is up. Right. And that's why we're being so horribly censored, and why Eurofolk Radio and Speak Free Radio are free speech platforms where we do talk about these things, but rarely, you know, on mainstream radio or television and mainstream magazines, because they own and control those. All right, back to you.
But weren't EFR on your mainstream media during the COVID pandemic scam?
Well, no, we never were on that. We've had shows that have been broadcast, you know, on radio, you know, regular radio. But Eurofolk Radio is only on internet.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't they mention EFR during some of those media outlets?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, I've recently discovered, because I subscribe to academia.com, academia.edu, and these academics have referenced our website over 200 times. So whether they admit it or not, whether they actually repeat what we say, or whether they're just making themselves aware of our position, you know, on politics, economics, and Jewry, you know, that I can't say, because I'd have to access all those articles, which is a lot of work. Okay. But yeah, EFR is having an effect, and Speak Free Radio also having an effect out there, but mainly it's on the internet.
Yes, and I can make a correction. It was Rudolf Hess, not Rudolf.
Rudolf.
It's more of a right. proper pronouncement of it.
Right. Okay.
So in Genesis 4, verses 16 to 24, we have Cain's seed line named in the scriptures. Cain having married a wife from a pre-Adamic creation.
Amen.
Immediately went into the business of building a city. And this is also one of those abnormalities that we speak about, that why would two people build a city? They were more than one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's nobody to rule over unless there's a lot more people. Right. And this is another failing of not just non-seed line, but Judeo-Christian in general. They don't realize that the beast of the field and the beast of the earth is actually references to two-legged creatures. And those were created already in Genesis chapter 1. And they were some of them were already in the garden that Adam had attended. And he used their help. They were helpers for him in the garden. Okay. So the other races were already here. That Genesis chapter 1 is about the creation of all of the species. All of the species that we have here on planet Earth, the last species being the Adamic race. That was the last one created. The other races were created, and that's Genesis chapter 1, verses, I think, 25 to the end, 26 to the end. And the two-legged species were part of Genesis 1, 24 and 25. Okay, because the word che, the Hebrew word che, means living. It cannot be limited to cattle and creeping things. It's talking a living, breathing, walking on the earth animal. That's what the Hebrew word che means. So they try to redefine it so as to exclude the other races. All right, back to you.
Yeah. So he immediately began to name his offspring by the various names that were also being used by the seed of the woman. In Genesis 4, verses 17 to 18, we have an Enoch. Now maybe I need some help. Mehushael. And
all right. Women. Okay, so let me see. Yeah, Mehuzael, Enoch, Mehuzael, and Lamech, which imitate the names of the Adamic seed line, right?
Yeah, and this is also this impersonation they're showing here by taking on our names.
Right.
As they do today. The seed of Cain was then, as they are now, taking the good Christian names of the seed of the woman and hiding behind these names. It should be noted that the word Canaan never appeared in Adam's genealogy. In Genesis 5, verses 9 to 14, the word Canaan should have been translated Canaan. And this is so translated in the AKJV in 1 Chronicles 1, verses 2. Genesis 4.
Yeah. For those who aren't seeing the actual document here, there's a difference in the spelling. The I think in the KJV it's C A I N A N and should be K E N A N. Canaan versus Canaan. Okay, back to you.
I can have a look in the script. Now I moved the page again. I can have a look in the script. See what they say there too.
I'll continue reading while you're looking for that. Okay. Yeah. Genesis 4, 16 through 24 takes us through a great expanse of time and brings us to the time of Noah's flood. It should be carefully noted that the seed line of Cain is carefully chronicled in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4. Cain, Enoch, Irad, Mehujael, Methusael, Lamech, Jabel, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. This satanic seed line multiplied and grew into a large body of people by the time of Noah of the righteous seed line is born into the earth. Exactly. And most Judeo-Christians ignore this fact that these evil people were populating the earth just as much as the Adamites were. Okay. You got that quotation from the scriptures?
Yeah, I have Genesis 5:10. And then they say like this. Now as I try to hard with the pronunciation. So, and after he brought forth is Kayan. So it's different. It is not spelled like Cain. It's Kayan. It's a different writing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's the Hebrew. The either K-A-Y-I-N or C-A-Y-I-N is usually the way that's spelled.
Okay. Yeah. I wrote it in our little chat room there, so you can see how it was spelled.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I think his point is there's a difference, and there's a difference between the two seed lines, and the name should be spelled differently. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Which some translations do with K E N A N. He's saying is the correct spelling. All right, back to you.
Yeah, and then the Cain is spelled like that. So okay, now let's get back.
Next paragraph.
Oh, next paragraph. Okay.
Yeah.
It is also very important to remember that during the vast time of history, during the pre-flood years, the satanic seed line of Cain was engaged in bringing forth all manner of evil upon this earth, including the foundation of what is later called the mist religion of Babylon. All of the occult power of darkness were rampant among the satanic seed. The beginning of Kabbalism and black magic can be traced to Cain. Cain was one of the most powerful and influential persons ever to appear upon the world stage in terms of wicked and evil accomplishment. Jewish Kabbalism had its beginning with the man Cain. The origin of secret societies and subversive movements all were part of the satanic seed line that began with Cain. All of the secret occult movements in history had their origin with the secret oath and initiations doctrines crew mortgaged by the seed of line of Cain.
Yeah. Oh, and actually, I think you and I did a program about what was her name? Sumeria, that Cain was actually the founder of the Sumerian kingdom.
Yep.
Okay. Namely the short black-headed people, which were part of that kingdom. And I think Mrs. Sidney Bristow does an excellent job of tracing the kingdom of Sumeria all the way back to Cain. All right. So, and that's where all of this stuff began. And definitely a pagan empire for sure, Sumeria. All right. Back to you.
Yeah. And also that you can find Cain in the sector history. You find him, but he has another name.
Yeah. Sargon the Magnificent, which is the title of her book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is a very good book. We have done a series of it. I also read it on my channel. So,
yeah. Sargon, it's a two-part word. Sar means chief or king, and gon is just a respelling of Cain. It means Sargon means King Cain. All right? King Kong. All right, back to you.
It's close to King Kong.
Yeah, right.
When we arrived at the time of Noah, the earth was apparently well populated with both, one, the seed of the woman, and two, the seed of Cain.
Amen.
Both the two seed lines of Genesis 3:15 can be clearly traced after the flood because Jesus Christ did so in Matthew 23 and John 8. The important thing to remember is that Jesus Christ acknowledged, according to the eyewitnesses account of two disciples, St. Matthew and St. John, that the Jewish Pharisees descended from Cain, and that this race was responsible for all the righteous blood shed upon this earth, from righteous Abel down to the father of John the Baptist. And here also, I mean, God, Yahweh, yes, also have two witnesses, two eyewitnesses, as is his law. And he have two witnesses here, Matthew and John.
That's right. That's right. See, Matthew chapter 23 is usually ignored, but it's definitely toward the latter end of that chapter. Okay.
Yeah. So, see St. Matthew 23 and John 8. In Genesis 9, verses 18, we are told that Canaan was the son of Ham. It is also very plain that this Canaan was not a blessed seed of the women, but apparently was mothered by a Canaanite woman of the satanic seed line. In Genesis 9, verses 25, the man Canaan is cursed by God, and this cursed seed of Canaan became a continuation of the seed of Cain upon the earth. This Canaanite seed line was all order destroyed by divine edict, as recorded in Deuteronomy 20, verses 16 to 18.
Yeah, now that's very interesting because I believe Dan Gaiman believes in a global flood. So where would this polluted line come from? Well, they must have survived the flood one way or another. They had to have survived the flood. Okay, no doubt about it. Okay, back to you.
Yes, so in Genesis 10.
Yeah.
Go ahead. In Genesis 10, verses 15 to 20, we're given the satanic seed line of Canaan, and the names of this satanic line are as follows: Canaan, Sidon, Heth, the Jebusite, Amorite, Girgashite, Hivite, Arkite, Sinite, Arvadite, Semarite, and the Hamathereth. I cannot pronounce it, maybe. All of these people were classified as a familiar of the Canaanites. Bracket, Genesis 10, verses 18. They settled in the area defined in Genesis 10, verses 19, which placed them in the very area that Abraham found them in, as recorded in Genesis 12, verses 6. These Canaanite tribes multiplied in the time into the seven nations of Canaan, as listed in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. These were the satanic seed line that occupied the land wherein Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were told to go. This satanic seed practiced every evil and wicked abomination described under heaven. They are the adultery, and wickedness was so great and so baneful in the eyes of God that he ordered them all destroyed at the hands of his Israel people. The wicked seed of the serpent, bracket, the Canaanite nations, and the bracket, were so terrible that God had told Israel, bracket, the promised seed of the women through Isaac, and the bracket, to utterly destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their cities to the ground, and to utterly consume them. God even told his Israel people that if they fail to utterly destroy this Canaanite seed from the earth, that they would, according to Joshua 23, verse 13, be snares and traps unto you, and scourge in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish of this good land, which Yahweh your God has given you.
Amen. And that prophecy is also in Numbers 33:55. That they will become thorns in their side and pricks in their eyes. Back to you.
Yeah. And they are that, my God.
Yeah, they sure are.
These Canaanite thorns later plagued the Apostle Paul to no end. For they constantly opposed his teaching, the truth of Jesus Christ, just as they do in America and all over the Western world today. At this point, it should be remembered that Esau married into this satanic seed line when he took the wife Judith, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the Hittite, bracket, Genesis 26, verse 34, and bracket. The fusion of Esau and his seed through this Canaanite woman becomes very important in understanding the subsequent development of this satanic seed line through history. In Genesis 36, verses 1 to 43, we have an entire chapter devoted to the seed line of Esau that now becomes fused with the satanic seed of the Canaanite serpent seed line. You will take particular note of Amalek, who was Esau's grandson. The Amalekians in time became one of the very worst of the Canaanite seed line. The descendants of Esau were called Edomites. From Esau's marriage into the Canaanite and seed line, we pick up two new names, which are very important to subsequent historic development. These two names are the Edomites and the Amalekites. Read Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. To see what God said about Israel's perpetual warfare against this Amalek branch of the serpent seed.
So, and if you pay attention to the videos of the rabbis, they're constantly calling us white people Amalek. They say we are Amalek and we need to be destroyed. That's what the Jews say about us. So, again, they have every intention of destroying us, and they're occupied doing so right now with all of the immigration that they have perpetuated and created in our white nations. I mean, it's so obvious that this is part of the war. And of course, it's in Revelation chapter 12, verses 15 through 17, that the devil, the dragon, was wroth with the woman and sent a flood after us, right? There's no flood in the Israeli state. There's no flood of immigrants in the Israeli state. It's only happening in white countries. So the Bible is consistent once you understand who the Jews really are and who they are not. All right, back to you.
Yeah, I guess that was a commandment from Yahweh that we should exterminate the Amalek.
Right.
Branch. Yes. And then if the Jews get to say that we are Amalek, they say, oh, God wants us to destroy them.
Yeah. Right? They're doing God's work, right? Yeah, we know the opposite is true, right? But the Judeo-Christian world doesn't see that.
No, that's okay. They are basically committing suicide.
Yes, right? Yeah, we would hope that they do. Maybe they will, accidentally.
So, Isaiah 34, verses 5, describes a portion of the Esau-Edomite line and calls them Idumea, the people of my curse. The Edom is a portion of the serpent seed line is further discussed in Isaiah 63, verses 16, Jeremiah 49, verses 7 to 22, Ezekiel 35, verses 1 to 15, and Obadiah 1 unto 21. This Edomite branch of the serpent seed in time did become and continues to this day to be the most satanic and vile portion of this evil seed. Herod was an Edomite, and you know that he ordered male children of the seed of promise of the woman seed destroyed. The Herodians were Idumeans, and the Idumeans were Edomites. The Jewish Encyclopedia, 925, Volume 5, page 41, states, quote, Edom is in modern Jewry, end of quote. And I think that quote is among the most well-known quotes for us in Christian identity.
That's right.
And this is also a corroboration by the Biblical Encyclopedia, Volume 2, Call 1187, this Edomite branch, this red Edomite Idumean seed line is today the guiding mind of the serpent seed upon this earth.
Yes, yes. All right, yeah. We understand that. And it's very clever that the devil has put on the garb of a Judeo-Christian preacher and has convinced the flock. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing, and our people know it not.
Yeah, and that's why, as I said, Edom is red. That's why the communist is right. Red, and social right. Democrat is red. Hey, Swedes, understand, social democrats is communist, and communist is red because it's Jewish. It is satanic.
That's right. Edomite, right.
Yeah, and they have those roses always. These red roses, you know. Another Canaanite intrusion into the seed of the woman took place when Judah married a Canaanite woman, bracket, Shua, and the bracket. And from this union, three sons were born, Er, Onan, and Shelah. Shelah was the only one who lived to bear progeny, but the Shelonite faction of the serpent seed line also caused problems for the seed of the woman. In fact, it was descendants through Esau, Edom, and Judah, Shelah, that stood before Jesus Christ in John 8 and declared themselves to be the children of Abraham. They claim a descent from Abraham. Okay.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I've never heard it put that way. In other words, he's saying that they were partially Judah, and but they also said in John 8 that we were never in bondage to any man, so that means they were not Israelites. Okay, because all Israel was in bondage to other nations at some point in our history before then. Okay, all right, back to you.
Yes, so let's continue. So they claim a descent from Abraham through this type of race mixing. Jesus Christ, however, exposed them for what they really were, not the children of Abraham, John 8, verses 39 to 44, but the children of Satan. Please keep in mind that the proper dividing of God's word as to the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent of Genesis 3:15 is what St. Paul had in mind when he spoke of the true seed of Abraham, the children of the promise of Romans 9. When we fail to properly divide the good seed from the evil seed, we make the word of God of none effect. Bracket, Romans 9, verses 6, end of bracket. It is important to remember that at the time of Joshua and the children of Israel were trying to take the promised land, that the seven nations of the Canaanite seed line of the serpent, bracket, Deuteronomy 7, verses 1, end of bracket, we're also joined by the Edomite, Amalek, Shelonite seed line. The serpent seed is rapidly by this time becoming a fusion of the most baneful and of the genetic sea line of this earth and continues to be so today. For to this very hour, the descendants of this same satanic seed sit in high places in every government in the Western world, and they own and control both the power of money and the printing presses, radio, television, and publishing houses of America, and every other government in the Western world. It is very important to remember that Israel, bracket, the promised seed of the woman, and the bracket, did not utterly destroy the seed of the serpent. The Canaanite nations and a review of the book of Joshua and Judges will quickly reveal that large number of this Canaanite seed were left alive and flourishing in the earth. The failure of Israel to expel and destroy this Canaanite seed from their midst was the reason for Israel's subsequent moral, spiritual, and political fall. Any nation that permits this satanic seed line to flourish will soon find them in total control of the financial institutions, news media, university shares, leading governmental positions, and in total power over the very life and direction that a nation takes. The satanic seed of the Canaanite, Edomite, Amalek line flourished in this earth in spite of God's order to have them utterly destroyed, and they continue to flourish in the Middle East and in Western Asia during Israel's deportation into the Assyrian wilderness. And Eli, can that also be... They want to try to disprove Yahweh God by doing this. They live high on the hog, as you say, in America, and they really are. And so, I mean, this is it also a way for them to try to show him, hey, look, we are making it good, you see? They want to try to give him, they always give him the finger, but they want to, I guess, they just want to rub it in his, I don't know, it's their way.
Well, I forget what his name is, the Muslim leader of the East Indies. I forget the name of the country, actually. But he said that the Jews make war by proxy. In this way, they hire, with their money, they hire armies to make war against us and sometimes other nations, but usually against our white Christian nations. And this is how they make war against us, always hiding in the background so that, and then controlling the media so that our people don't understand who is really financing all of this. A perfect example is the war in Ukraine. You know, what are we doing, supporting either side in that war? We shouldn't be. We shouldn't not be. It's the Rothschild war, right? But of course, the mass media never talks about it in terms of Jewish sponsored war. It's always, World War I was about democracy, making the world safer democracy, even though Germany was one of the most democratic nations in Europe. Actually more democratic than Great Britain, because Great Britain was and still is a monarchy, right? So, and of course, Germany was a monarchy at that point in time, Kaiser Wilhelm II. So how is it making the world safer democracy? Well, Jewish democracy, yeah, right? So they always invent a good reason to go to war, but that war is never accomplishing anything like democracy, never has and never will, because that's not what the Jews want. They want total dictatorship. So that's why none of these wars ever succeed in accomplishing the stated goal. They never do. Right? Did the West win World War II? Or did the communists win World War II?
Communists, of course. See how Europe has been destroyed. All the faith is destroyed. All the church has been empty now because of this socialism that has wrecked upon the Western people. And that is one of those disinformation campaign that the Soviet play, the communists play, how they want us to believe that the communist system failed. It didn't. It just did change their way of tactics. And that is the problem for people. They believe it collapsed. It didn't. They have changed the face to a socialist with a human face, and they changed people to believe that that it failed. It did not fail. They dismantled because they have already infiltrated the Western government. So why have a war when they are all the same?
Yes. Yes. So this tremendous infiltration is not perceived by our people at all. At all. Even though Dwight D. Eisenhower and Earl Warren, who was the head of the Supreme Court during the days of Eisenhower, were both Jews. The American people never knew that they were Jews. And they're the ones who invaded the South to desegregate the schools. And actually sent the American military into the public schools of the South to enforce, at the point of a gun and a bayonet, the desegregation of the schools. That's a total violation of our Constitution and states' rights, by the way. All right. Okay. I never hear people talking about states' rights when Eisenhower and that Jewish Earl Warren invaded the South. Whatever happened to states' rights?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So let's continue then. So, in fact, ancient Babylon had long been the stronghold of the seed of Satan in this earth. The central seat of Canaanite authority was always located in Babylon until the return of the Judeans and many Canaanites to Jerusalem following the 70-year Babylonian captivity. Read Ezra 9 and 10 for a complete history of the fact that the wicked seed of Satan did attempt to corrupt and mix with the seed of the woman following the end of the Babylonian captivity. Also read the book of Nehemiah, especially chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From the last book written in the Old Testament, Malachi, onto the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, we have about 400 years of history taking place. To find out what happened during this long 400 years of biblical silence, you must go to sources outside the Bible. There are plenty of records available both in secular and in non-canonical books of the Holy Bible. Briefly, what you have taking place in this long 400-year silence in Bible history with regard to 1, the seed of the woman, and 2, the seed of the serpent, is this. The seed of the woman was primarily in dispersion, moving slowly across Asia Minor, through Europe, and on to the appointed homelands of the white race. Another portion of our Israel seed of the woman as living in the very areas of Asia Minor, where the Apostle Paul and other writers of the New Testament were doing their missionary work, and they were writing and visiting these people. Another portion of the seed of the women, mostly of Judah and Benjamin, was living in and around Jerusalem and Galilee to fulfill prophecies concerning the birth and ministry of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I guess the Apocrypha is one of the good sources. He's mentioning it here by this non-canonized book.
Right, right. Yeah, well, the Canaanites and the Edomites are mentioned in just about every book, you know, in the Apocrypha, as well as, of course, the Bible.
Yes. So, during the long 400-year history, the seed of Satan, in the form of the Canaanite, Edomite, Amalekite seed line was also flourishing in Palestine, in Jerusalem in particular, where they had thought the Edomite line ascended to the highest religious and political positions of power. And this wicked seed was spared through the Middle East into the principal cities and trade areas.
Spread into the through the Middle East.
Yes, spread.
I think you said spared.
Okay. Yeah, spread. So correct.
They're everywhere. Okay.
So when we arrive at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, this wicked seed of the serpent is in total control of the religious and temple life of the people in Jerusalem. They had filled Jerusalem with the doctrine of the Talmud, which the Jews had carried with them to Jerusalem from Babylon. In fact, after about BC 536, the Canaanite seed line began to be called by the name Jew. From the time of the return of the Babylonian captivity, the Canaanite seed line is lost in the name Jew and Edomite or Herodians.
Amen. Well said. Yep.
So the Jewish Pharisees and scribes presented this evil seed line in New Testament times, as did King Herod. Let us look into the New Testament and see from selected passages how prominent the Jewish seed line of the serpent was in the New Testament times. In Matthew 3, verses 7 to 12, we find John the Baptist being opposed by the satanic Jew seed line, and John called them a race of vipers. Why did he call them a race of serpents? Was it because they were the seed of the serpent living on this earth in AD 26? Notice what Matthew 3 verses 12 says about this chaff, bracket, seed of the Jews, and bracket, being burned with unquenchable fire. As you read through the four gospel chapter after chapter, you are confronted time and time again with the serpent Jew seed line of Satan attempting to refute and destroy Jesus Christ and his truth. This is that eternal enmity that was placed between these two seed lines in Genesis 3, verses 15. In Matthew 13, verse 24 to 30 and 37 to 43, we find a most remarkable parable and one of the most important parables revealed by Jesus Christ. Here is the parable Jesus Christ plainly declared. Bracket, for those having eyes to see and ears to hear, Matthew 13, verses 11 to 13, and a bracket, that while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Bracket, Matthew 13, verses 25, and a bracket. Later, Jesus Christ confirmed in Matthew 13, verses 37 to 38, that the good seed, the wheat, the seed of the woman, was sown in this earth by Jesus Christ, and that the tares, the seed of the wicked one, were sown in this field, bracket, the world, and a bracket, by the devil, bracket, Matthew 13, verses 37 to 43, and a bracket. Here is a parable that takes you right back to Genesis and the Garden of Eden. Satan sowed.
Correct. Yes, the apostles asked him, how did the tares wind up in the wheat field? And his simple reply was, an enemy has done this, right? But what's he talking about? He's talking about Nahash impregnating Eve. That's what he's talking about. All right, please continue.
Yeah, so Satan sowed his wicked seed in this earth. And this seed has been at enmity with the good seed of the woman that, quote, the son of man, M.O. quote, sowed in this earth when he formed Adam and placed him in the garden eastward from Eden. You cannot spiritualize this parable away. The word seed, as used here, has already been discussed, and you cannot evade or spiritualize away the literal meaning of this parable. Jesus Christ clearly revealed the entire history of the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent from Genesis to the end of this age, and they were who had eyes to see and ears to hear will discern the truth of this parable. Those who cannot will continue to parrot the same old theological modern church line of the National and World Council of Churches,
which are both communist. The National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches has always been run by communists and financed by the Rothschilds. Okay. To destroy Christianity, to preempt Christianity. Now, it's very important to point out here that a parable or a metaphor, the metaphorical language always has a literal objective or a literal fulfillment. Okay. So the question is, well, what is the literal fulfillment? It has to take place in the earth. All parables have a literal objective. Okay. But they're couched in metaphoric language so that the enemy, and in many cases, our own people who need discernment need to study these matters so that they will eventually figure out what the meaning of the parable is, the literal physical working out of the parable is, and because they always have a physical objective and a physical working out in prophecy, always. All right, back to you.
Yes. So in Matthew 16 verses 8 to 12, Jesus Christ warned his disciples to be aware of the doctrines of the Jewish Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees consisted in the teachings of the Jewish Talmud, which originated in Babylon, as was all a part of the Kabbalistic teachings of the seed line of the serpent. The entire 33rd chapter of St. Matthew is an indictment against the serpent seed by Jesus Christ. In verses 15, Jesus told the Jews that they would compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and, quote, he is made, ye make him twofold more shy of hell than yourself, end of quote. Who yes, were the children of hell?
Yeah, and this is actually true of our people as well, the Judeo-Christians, because they have become proselytes or converts to Judaism, thinking that Judaism is the religion of the Old Testament. Okay? So they have become unwilling converts to Judaism, whether they realize it or not. And this was actually prophesied at the end of the American Revolution when Cornwallis surrendered to Washington. Cornwallis said to Washington, well, this war is not over. Within 200 years, the Christians of America will have become Jews, right? Which is what they have become. Back to you.
And same here in Sweden, too. They worship yeah. their Jew master with their heart and soul.
Amen.
They were the Jews, and the Jews are the seed of Satan in this earth. In Matthew 23, verses 35, he charged them with all the righteous bloodshed upon the earth for the past 4,000 years. Think about it.
Yep.
What was it that made Jesus Christ so hated by the Jews? It was that enmity that your God placed between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman in Genesis 3, verses 15. Do you want to go on and read a bit, Eli, if possible?
Yeah, okay. My background noise has subsided a bit. Okay, in Mark chapter 7, we find Jesus Christ again at war with the seed of the serpent, the Canaanite Jews. Jesus Christ exposed their traditions. The tradition of the Jews was the Babylonian Talmud and all the other satanic doctrines that had been compiled in Babylon for several thousand years, which of course is the Kabbalah, the Midrash, the various books that they have in addition to the Bible. They do have the Bible, but they have corrupted it tremendously with the Masoretic text. Masoretic text is unfortunately what the King James Version is based on, and most other Bible versions are based on the Masoretic text. So this is the corrupted version of the Bible by the Masoretic rabbis. Okay, most people don't understand that. Only those of us in identity understand it. That is a doctored version, and they need to look at other versions too. In fact, the Smith and Goodspeed version, which has been criticized by Judeo-Christian pastors as being suspect, is actually better than the Judeo-Christian, because they don't impute Jewish theology into the Bible. They just translate it directly as possible, okay, without any theological bias, okay? So I would say that translation is actually one of the best. But let's continue here. So the tradition of the Jews was the Babylonian Talmud and all their other satanic doctrines that had been compiled in Babylon for several thousand years, and that's absolutely correct. Judaism is all of these traditions wrapped up into the Talmud. Again, Jesus Christ was at war with the Jews in St. Luke 11 to 37 to 54. By the testimony of Luke, Yahshua Messiah claimed the blame for all righteous blood of Abel down to Zacharias upon the seed of the serpent, the Canaanite Jew. Yes, absolutely. Again, St. Luke in 12:1 records Jesus Christ warning his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Talmudic doctrines of the serpent race of Jews. read the parable of the husbandman, St. Luke 29-19, wherein Yahshua Messiah revealed the plot of the satanic seed of the serpent to kill him. Okay, so we're getting close to the end here. Michael, would you dial up that parable, the parable of the husband in Luke 20, verses 9 through 19, because it's very, very dramatic and will illustrate what's going on between us and the serpent seed in the world today. And I'll finish this paragraph, and then if you would please read that parable,
so,
okay?
So 11:37-54.
No, this is St. Luke. He says 20 verses 9 through 19, the parable of the husbandman.
Ah, 20. Okay.
He's got the, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And in John 6:70, Yahshua Messiah declared, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil?" Keep in mind, my friend, that Judas Iscariot had something in his genetic makeup that made him a son of perdition. Please remember that Yahshua Messiah never converted one satanic Jew, right? Well, if he couldn't convert them, how can we? Because genetically, they are the seed of Satan and cannot be converted to Yahshua Messiah. And if anyone thinks they can be converted, more power to you. Keep trying, right? They will smile and totally ignore what you're saying. But they will pretend, as the conversos of Spain did. They pretended to convert to Christianity. And also, they're also known as Marranos, which was the term that the Christians applied to them, which means swine. The Christians of Spain called them swine. They called themselves conversos, by which they meant false converts. And they always are false converts. They always have an ulterior motive. Anyway, you did something that Yahshua Messiah said could not be done, and which he could not even do himself, because they could not hear his voice. Judas Iscariot was of this satanic seed line, and John 13:27 only confirms that the spirit of Satan dwelt in a body of satanic seed. Amen to that. And the word Iscariot, for those who are not familiar, Iscariot means Ish-Kerioth in Hebrew, and Ish-Kerioth means man of Kerioth. Kerioth was a small town on the border of Judah and Edom, Idumea. And that's where he came from. That's why he's got this surname, Iscariot. That's actually Ish-Kerioth. All right. So do you have Luke 20, verses 9 through 19?
Yes, I have Luke 20, verses 9. And I will read the parable of the wicked tenants.
Okay.
So, and he began to speak this parable to the people. A certain man planted a vineyard and leased it to the farmers and went away for a long time. And at harvest time, he sent a servant to the farmers to give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the farmers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him too and maltreated him and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him too and cast him out. And the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I shall send my son, the beloved. They might respect him when they see him." But when the farmers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, so that the inheritance become ours."
Mm-hmm.
And they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then shall the owner of the vineyard do to them? He shall come and destroy those farmers and give the vineyard to others. And having heard, they said, "Let it not be." Huh. But he looked at them and said, "What then is this that has been written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone shall be broken, but on whomever it falls, he shall be pulverized."
Right.
And
very good. So the Pharisees realized that he was talking about them, that they are the wicked husbandmen. Right. That's why this this parable is so important. Christians need to realize that these Pharisees, and he quoted the Jewish encyclopedia already, Edom is in modern Jewry, okay? They admit it in their writings if you bother to read them, okay? That parable is about the Pharisees and their entire seed line, okay? All right, so let me continue with about 10 minutes left, okay? So in St. John 7:1, Yahshua Messiah could no more walk among the serpent seed of Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him, not the Romans. There are at least 17 verses in the New Testament which clearly state that the Jews sought to kill Yahshua, either directly or indirectly. And there's no verses that say that the Romans intended to kill him. In fact, Pontius Pilate tried to clear him on 3 or 4 separate occasions. Right? I find no fault in him, is what Pontius Pilate said. And then he finally turned him back over to the Jews. In John 8:23, Jesus Christ told the Jews, quote, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Here is a truth if you will receive it." The Jews are from beneath. Jesus Christ declared in Matthew 15:13 that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted in this earth shall be rooted up, unquote. The Jews were not planted in this earth by the direct creation of Jesus Christ, but rather by the procreative power of the serpent. And if you have not read Enoch's account of how the higher order of angels mixed their seed with the seed of Adam, you have never understood Genesis chapter 6, nor have you considered the fact that the serpent was not an ordinary angel, but indeed was an archangel fully capable of the power of procreation, not creation, but procreation, producing offspring. And this is basic two-seed line theology here. Very good. In John 8:38, Jesus Christ plainly told the Jews that he and they had different fathers. Is this not what Genesis 3:15 is telling you? Read all of John 8:38-59. This entire chapter is a continuation of the enmity that was to exist between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. In John 8:44, Yahshua Messiah told the Jews, and the word of God is telling you, that the Jews are of their father, the devil, and their father is traced back to Cain. So the same thing is in Matthew chapter 23. Read verse 47. The Jews could not hear God's word because they were not a direct creation of God. They were the seed of the serpent. They were procreation, right? In John 10:26, Jesus Christ told the Jews, quote, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." In that continuation, "My sheep know me and hear my voice and follow me." He didn't quote that part of it. Why could the Jews not believe? Because they were not the genetic seed of Yahweh. They were not the offspring or issue of Yahweh, as was Adam. Remember, Yahshua Messiah said that the good seed, the seed of the woman, was sown in this earth by Jesus Christ, Matthew 13:37. And he also said, "I am the root and the offspring of David." Okay? So he had, in order to be the root of David, the seed line, he had to be instrumental in creating it, right? Which he did. In John 15:22-27, Yahshua Messiah is telling why he came to speak to this wicked seed line of the Jews. Because he spoke to them, and because they refused to hear the truth and rejected the truth, they are without a cloak to hide their sins. This will be the justification for Luke 19:27 to take place. And you can be sure that the gathering of this wicked Jew seed line into Palestine is all to the end that judgment can be pronounced upon them in the very place where they spilled the righteous blood of Yahshua Messiah. Would you quote Luke 19:27, please? Because that's another important verse.
Luke
19:27.
27. I'm on my way there. And here it is. Okay. Luke 19:27. But those enemies of mine who did not wish me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. Whoops.
Whoops. Whoops. Slay them? Really? Did Jesus Christ actually pronounce that word, slay them? He sure did, folks. You'll never hear a Judeo-Christian minister quote Luke 19:27. All right? And let's continue. The head of the Jewish serpent race will be crushed in the very place where they attempted the death of Jesus Christ. Very good. Yeah, so they have regathered themselves in Judea for their own destruction, is what he's saying. And I sure hope he's correct, right? Okay, Michael, I have to prepare for the next show, so why don't you read it to the end, and then we'll start back. I will start back on Eurofolk Radio, and with a longer introductory audio because I need to take a break. All right, back to you, Michael.
Okay, so you ended after this. You were stopping in St. John 7:1.
Yeah, we'll just keep reading until we'll hear the music. We'll hear the music come in, and then that'll be our cue to end the show. Okay?
Okay. So I will then continue there. Yeah. So in St. John 7:1, Jesus Christ could no more walk among the serpent seed of Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. In John 8:23, Jesus Christ told the Jews, quote, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world," end of quote. And we all know when we meet up with Jews, or not meet up, when we come across them, they are very, very, yes, very materialistic and worldly. We are not. Yes. So then the world will perceive us to be very odd and strange. Here is a truth, if you will receive it. The Jews are from beneath. Jesus Christ declares in Matthew 15, verse 13, that, quote, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted," bracket, "in this earth," ammo bracket, "shall be rooted up." Quote, the Jews were not planted in this earth by the direct creation of Jesus Christ, but rather by a procreative power of the serpent. And if you have not read Enoch's account of how the higher order of angels mixed their seed with that seed of Adam, you have never understood Genesis chapter 6, nor have you considered the fact that the serpent was not an ordinary angel, but indeed was an archangel fully capable of the power of procreation, not creation, but procreation, producing offspring.
Right. Yeah, I read that already, but it bears repeating. That is a basic two-seed line theology. Okay, but well, there's conflict about how Isaiah and Ezekiel are to be interpreted when it mentions the name of Lucifer, right?